your dog shit in a bag. What's wrong with human in a bag?
Leaving it on the counter. You give me your drama or I'm going to pick up ancient drama, and nobody wants that because I have a lot to say on ancient Egypt and no
according
one wants that.
According to her research.
According to my research.
I don't think there's anything more tragic than watching someone that you deeply love, one of your best friends, actively go head first into something that you're like, stop, stop. Red alert, amber alert, call the police. This is not looking good over here. The house is on fire. Why are you walking into the house?
Honestly, how dare she figure that
out? You've never seen an Uno reverse so powerful. Anyway.
She said shit in my litter box one more time, bitch.
Holy jolly ho ho ho, everybody. Hey, welcome to another episode of your favorite podcast. And if it's not your favorite,
don't tell us. Keep that to yourself. Do not tell me that. It's none of my business.
We don't want to know who you're cheating on us with the other podcasts of the world. But all I know is something that I'm supposed to be doing is telling you all that you should be subscribing and leaving us a gorgeous comment and leaving us a beautiful review on Spotify so they don't think we're a spam account.
Yeah, no, please do that. You will go to the top of Santa's nice list if you do that. And you really want to be there this year because let me tell you something. The Sephora sale has inspired me. Everyone's stockings are going to be really good this year. So just
and maybe get there. If you behave yourself, we'll tell you what the good shit from Sephora is that we've uncovered that has not been ungatekept yet. We've been keeping it behind the gate, but we will let it unleash if you guys are nice to us.
We used our Sephora Rouge status for good this year.
We did.
We got there early before all the good shit sold out. And now we know why everything sells out so early because, y'all, there is
because one mention from Alex Earl, everything's gone.
Everything's gone. It's one TikTok. The algorithm picks up one. Anyways, you guys, all we're trying to say is we cracked the code and we are willing to share if you guys are nice to us. Please. Hey.
You guys, I am pathetic. I am so pathetic. All we did today was go to the mall, take a nap, have two coffees, and I'm like, God, I'm exhausted.
We did something else too.
And what did we do?
We cleaned the kitchen. We've been living in filth.
We have spent this whole week together, and have we thought to maybe throw one of our disposable coffee cups away? No, we haven't. Have we thought to maybe, throw away a Dr. Pepper can for once in your life?
Yeah.
We didn't think of it till today. So.
And we also keep forgetting to eat, and then 11:30 p.m. will roll around, and Morgan will be like, on her deathbed, like, if I don't eat something, I'm going to wither away and die. I have never met someone who wakes up so hungry and goes to bed so hungry in my life.
My metabolism works overtime, and you all hear it 4K on the mic, you guys. And you know what? We're getting to the point in our friendship where Brooke can really recognize when I need a little something, and it's really humiliating because
it's not.
The only other people that know, oh God, hell is about to be unleashed, like, no, people don't understand the gravity of the situation when I or my brother Rylan are a little bit hungry or a little bit undercaffeinated. You will meet new people that you have never met before. And Brooke has, I think what I appreciate about you so much, Brooke, is she knows that the problem is not her. She knows we need to find a little something.
It's I go through my list. I'm like, does she need to pee? Does she need to eat? Or does she need a little bump of caffeine or sugar?
God, I'm like a 4-year-old. No, they're like, what does my baby child need? How do we get her back?
What does baby girl need? We're in the gap today. She goes nonverbal, hates everything. I go, okay. It's, Nordstrom Cafe right around the corner. Want to go? She goes, that's a great idea. I go,
We ran to the Nordstrom Cafe. She got me a steak Caesar salad, and I have been revived. And then I go back to my neutral state where I am pleasant and lovely and ready to chit chat.
You rise from the dead and you go, was I being a bitch? She goes, was I being a bitch? I go, no. She goes, yeah, I was. I was hungry. Sorry. Anyways.
I'm like, anything that I've said in the past hour, it's not the truth. It was a demon talking.
So good.
And I don't know what that is. Is it an illness?
No, I think your metabolism works fast, and I think you have blood sugar crashes.
It is. The only reason that I will find a slight way to justify it in my peewee brain is that it happens to my brother too. So it must be genetic that we just have hanger to a degree that it's not okay.
I wouldn't even call it hanger, though. I don't think you get hangry. You just get exhausted.
I get exhausted and everything is uninteresting to me until I get my little bump.
Yeah, it's just
I could
exhaustion.
Do crack. I could do cocaine. And what don't. Do I want? A Chomps and a Dr. Pepper.
Yeah. And that, listen, we can make that happen.
We can make that happen. And she always does it for me. I'm going to be so sad when you leave tomorrow, Brooke. Every time we hang out for an extended period of time, whenever you leave, I have withdrawals and I go through like a depressive withdrawal state.
We text more than we normally do for the first couple of days because it's like, hey, like I'm back living with a man. Like things are less funny. How's it going over there, Giggle Fest? Like,
and you guys, we talk all day. You would think we run out of things to talk about. Somehow we don't.
No, because we're really funny.
But
speaking of things that we talked about, what happens is we will remind each other of something and then it's like a whole tangent that like just erupts out of the memory that we were reminded of. And today, just before we were filming, I forget how it came up, but we started talking about J14 and Kiss and Tiger Beat.
Oh, well, I'll tell you how it came up because I have planned a lovely, fun, exciting segment for you all.
That's right.
Of something that we've never done before. And I pulled emails from people who have submitted for advice. I thought us two with our big, beautiful blonde brains, we could give each other advice. And then I was like, did you used to read the advice column on like a J14 or a Teen Beat? And then Brooke brought this out of her unlocked memories.
Wouldn't it be cute if we called this segment like Hear Me Out Magazine or something? And it's like an advice column.
The advice column.
Anyways, put a pin in that.
We'll work on it.
We'll workshop that.
To be edited, but it's getting there.
It's getting there. But it reminded me, picture this, the year. It's like 2009. I'm reading, I believe it was either Tiger Beat, J14, one of those.
One of the big five. I had a subscription for sure. Those bitches showed up in my mailbox. I was obsessed.
I was like, I went to Barnes & Noble and anytime I saw One Direction on the cover, I had to buy it. And it was like a compulsive thing. Anyways, but around 2009, I read a story in the back of one of these magazines that has just stuck with me. And it's so infamous that even within my own family, with my sisters and I, we reference this story. And I started to kind of like reference it to Morgan. She goes, what are you talking about? And I go, everyone knows this. I Google it. Not everyone knows this. This is an article from 2009.
This was an original story.
And I would really, really like to read it to you all today just to get you into the holly jolly spirit.
No, we got to kick it off.
Okay.
Kick us off.
You guys. Also, sorry, but look at this picture of my dog that Jacob sent me.
His eyes go in two different directions.
He's literally the derpiest little dog. Anyway, that's Putt. Okay, this is from 2009.
Oh, the golden age.
The golden age.
The year of the gaucho. The year of the platform flip-flop. Did you guys have those? The ones with the cloth, like the little cloth flip-flop.
You know what my mom had for me and my sisters? She would get us the bejeweled ones.
No, my mom had us go to Joann's. My mom was a craft mom, as we know, and she would get us the like blankety fabric and we would make little tie flip-flops. We'd go to Old Navy and we'd match all of our ties to like whatever color flip-flops they were. And while we're on flip-flops, you want to know the most enraging fact about my family that you'll ever know? My dad calls flip-flops thongs.
Is he Australian?
You've never been to Aussie, mate. Where'd you pick this one up?
Down under?
The first time I was in middle school and he said, where are your thongs? Because I didn't have shoes on. I was like,
don't embarrass me like that.
Dad, what
dare
you? What do you know about my underwear drawer? And he was like, your shoes,
you
idiot.
He goes, oh my gosh.
So back to the flip-flops.
Bruce, I have questions. Where are you really from? Anyway, he whips out an accent one day. There's a pet koala in the basement. That's why he hates the cats, because it fights with the koala.
Oh my God, or the kangaroo.
Hey.
Down under, mate.
Down under. Okay. Y'all, this story is okay.
Why do my bubble guts start as soon as we did you hear the are you hearing this?
No.
Fine. I'll be contained. I'm gonna try to massage them away.
Well, speaking of bubble guts, this is so you have to imagine this, y'all. I'm like nine when I read this, maybe 10, like 9 or 10. Bodily functions were still really funny to me then, and they're still funny now. And I'm really sorry about that, but this does include that. Okay.
Oh, so it's right up my alley.
So this is written as if it's a, it's written as if it's like someone telling their friend. Okay. So that's the tone of it. Okay. I have so much work to do, but I seriously have to tell you this story. So very convoluted. A friend of a colleague slept at some guy's house this past Saturday night. They had hooked up once or twice before and she really liked him. So she slept there Saturday night and he told her that he had something to do really early on Sunday, but to just relax and sleep in and to let herself out because the door would automatically lock behind her. So she woke up and he was gone. So she was just getting her things together and went to the bathroom and she pooped. Well, then she realized the toilet was completely broken. Like not just clogged, but completely broken.
Oh, this is my nightmare. This is my absolute nightmare. This has to be a universal nightmare.
So she freaks out for a while. And for whatever reason, she decides to get a little plastic grocery type bag and scoop out the poop to take it with her when she left. So she gets her things. So she gets her things and leaves a note on his counter that says, "Thanks for having me. It was so good to see you," et cetera, et cetera. P.S. P.S. Your toilet is broken. P.S. Your toilet is broken. And then leaves. But then realizes the second the door locks behind her that she has left the bag of poop on the counter next to the note that says, "P.S. Your toilet is broken." So the guy is going to come home or came home since this was Sunday and found a note that said, "Your toilet is broken," with a bag of poop.
Honestly, that is so effing funny. If that guy did not call her back, I would be shocked.
Almost 15 years later, and that story holds up. Hell no, she never heard from that man again.
You don't think?
No, there is no way.
What about the charm of the, oh, brother. Wow, it's like women, you know, when they're like, brother, I like to eat burgers and drink beer and talk about shit. There is
simply no way that he thought that wasn't intentional. There's no way that he came home, the smell of shit wafting in the air, a plastic bag on the counter next to a fucking note that said "P.S." There's no way that was accidental.
You
know
what? You put your dog shit in a bag. What's wrong with human shit in a bag?
Leaving it on the counter. Leaving it on the counter would be the issue in question. I remember reading that, cry laughing, telling it to all my sisters, they're cry laughing. And to this very day, it holds up. But I thought everyone knew that story.
Apparently not. I did not know that story, isn't but that it really funny? Reminds me of one of my great stories that I don't know if you know.
Oh, hell. Oh, hell. What? What now?
Well, everyone on the internet already knows this about me. And it's the time that I had to shit in a litter box.
And confess right now.
I got a lot of contradicting opinions, but I will stand behind the fact that I simply didn't have another choice. It was either shit in a bag or shit in the box. And I chose to squat my ass down and shit in the box.
Hey, who made you make that decision? What happened?
Well, I was in my infamous apartment that this I still can't podcast. Let go of to this.
This poor podcast.
My poor parents. Like this, when they go to their friends and they're like, "Our 28-year-old, she is so matured and standing well in her career." They look me up there like, "So your daughter that talks about shitting herself
she's
on the internet?
And farting on the internet? My God. Oh my Lord." Okay. But I need to know. Sorry, you started it. You had to finish it. What happened?
I lived in my infamous apartment and it was a really snowy day. Yes, yes, yes. My Denver apartment. It was a really snowy day and they sent out a mass email that said, "Hey, everyone, it is so cold. You all need to open your cabinets so that the pipes in your unit don't freeze," and like throughout the whole building. And it was always a big, massive problem that when it got super duper cold that the pipes would freeze.
Yeah.
So I didn't see that email until it was too late. And once I realized that my toilet was frozen and nothing could
go down,
And once I flushed once and no water came back because all of the water was frozen into ice. So then I wasn't going to just, you know,
yeah,
go into it with yeah. no water. That would be weird. And then I didn't know, like, what are the odds that it flushes again and then you're stuck with it. And I was sitting in my bathroom, and I only had one bathroom in this apartment because it was a one bedroom,
one
bath.
Was there anyone in the apartment when this?
No, of course not.
I'm just checking. that there wasn't an audience of some sort. You loved your front door man, so I didn't know. Maybe you had company.
I did love my front door man, and that was
maybe
a really...
you had company.
No, he was a very good front door man, and he never crossed any front door man boundaries.
Except for taking your shot with you in the lobby, but that's besides the point.
We did take 5 p.m. shots, and maybe that was against the rules, but he never got in trouble for it.
Not against our rules. Sorry. Okay.
And I just had to make a life or death decision.
Mm-hmm.
When, you know, when you're at the point where it's almost already too late?
Yeah.
So I scurried over there.
You said, Miss Cookie, move. Miss Cookie, move
pants
over.
Pants around my ankles. And I squatted over it and I scooped it out and acted as if the cat did it, because who's ever going to know? And you want to know the most fucked up part of this story, Brooke, that's really going to like make you question things? After this incident, Miss Cookie started getting on my toilet. No, I heard a mysterious piddle in the middle of the night, and I thought, oh my God, someone broke into my unit. Someone's pissing in my toilet, like the toilet pisser. Are you kidding me? And I go in there, and Miss Cookie is on the toilet on all fours, pissing in my human toilet. And she kept doing it throughout the entire time I lived at this apartment. Miss Cookie would piss in my toilet like a human.
She saw you do it and said, watch this, bitch. She said, watch this. Fine. You can have, you have a video.
I need to find a video. I have a video of this happening, Brooke. Like, it was not okay.
Didn't she train their cat to do that?
It was really psychologically fucking me up, because I was like, oh my God, the power dynamic that she was like, bitch, you're going to shit in my toilet. Watch what I'm going to do to yours.
Cookie. Why? Seriously.
You sound so disturbed.
They say, go big or go home. But now you can go big at home with the Big Arch on delivery. That's right, the Big Arch is back and it's here to stay. Big Arch, for big McDonald's hunger. Order in the McDonald's app. Serve from 11 a.m. 18 plus. Service fee and small order fee may apply. Upcharges apply to delivery orders. Subject to availability. Price and participation may vary.
You sound so disturbed. Also, your little Invisalign sound. I love the sound in your voice.
Oh, I'm so dumb, you guys. I spent so long being so good about my Invisalign, and then I was like, I don't need to wear the night ones, and now I'm back to square one.
Damn it, really? You were damn so it. Diligent about
and this
that.
This happened all the time. Like, I couldn't get it to stop. There's multiple videos of this happening.
Also, the fact that you looked up in your phone, cat on toilet, and it found it.
That is fucking weird.
I love the way she stares you down, too. Like, she's in control. How dare she, honestly?
I'm making that into a sticker, because, oh my God.
Honestly, how dare she figure that
You've
out?
You've never seen an Uno reverse so powerful. Anyway.
She said shit in my lip box one more time, bitch. Okay. That is so funny. I hope you never told me that.
Because I don't want to accept that it's real. And I'm not going to walk around saying, yeah, I accidentally shit in my cat's box.
Accidentally, absolutely intentionally.
And then this weird thing started happening. Yeah.
At least she didn't shit in the toilet. Can you imagine?
She didn't. Only piddle. She's a classy lady. Anyway.
That cat is so smart, too.
One of the advice stories that I have that Brooke and I have to weigh in on does have the same topic. Okay. I don't know how. The stars just really align for us, because this is in the same category.
How is that possible? Okay.
So I'm going to make an email and I will put it down below. where you can submit advice stories or funny stories or am I the asshole stories, but I have pulled these from the Tron.
Mm-hmm.
So let that, these are personal write-ins. These are not
these
randoms.
Are real people.
These
not
are
bots.
Real people. So keep that in mind when you're commenting.
Be nice.
Hi, Morgan. I've had a problem on my hands for the past 6 months. My fiance and I have been redoing our house, but here's the issue. Every day when the contractor comes to the house to work, he pees all over the toilet and somehow manages to get it on the wall. What? How would you suggest I stop this madness? Is it even possible? Not only does he pee all over the toilet and wall, his pee is a concerning orange color. Oh. Not sure if that should be addressed. Seriously, what the fuck? Love a girl scrubbing urine off drywall on the daily.
I have great news for you. I actually do, in fact, have a lot of ideas. Have you seen how moms teach little boys how to pee in the toilet?
No.
They put, like, there's these little, like, Cheerio things that you can put in the toilet as, like, target practice. And what I think
oh my God,
to do,
so it's like a dartboard almost.
What I think you need to do is potty train the contractor. Put the potty training toys in the fucking toilet and say, hey, 10 points if you make it in the fucking pot. Well, sorry, I'm swearing so much.
Maybe that is really, because you know, it is really hard to keep a lot of straight men's interest unless there's a game about it. Like a video, make it kind of like a video game. Like you have to make it in the target. And then once he stops doing it, start giving prizes.
Yeah. Like little tips. Give him a gold star and say, congratulations, old man. You are finally potty trained. What is wrong with you? Hello? Make it in. Like it's,
that is crazy. I will say I am particularly cautious when I use other people's bathroom. How do you leave that thing?
Yes.
Because I best believe I'm not going to be the girl that leaves and, you know, you go home and your friends are like, Morgan,
that was crazy.
Pisses all over the seat, leaves shit in the toilet. Like,
pee on the wall is insane.
Pee on the wall. And maybe because we're girls, I don't have experience in the matter, but I just can't imagine that it's that hard to make it in.
I just
don't they play with their dingly danglies all day? Like, haven't you experimented enough to figure out how to make it in the bowl?
I feel like that's something you should figure out. I also do think it's on the table to start a group chat with you, your husband, and the contractor. Put a picture of the pee wall and say, if I have to clean this up one more time, you're fired.
You could just be very direct.
I think either direct or potty train. Those are your two options, girl. And either, I'm so sorry.
Either be a little bit of a bitch about it and hope for the best or potty train him. With the video game and prizes. But then it's like you're like babying another man. And who wants to do that?
Which
maybe your husband could say something.
No, because if a man is talking about another man's pee habits, I just feel like that might be a whole other issue.
You think?
Maybe.
Do men not talk about their pee habits like we do?
I don't think so.
What do men talk about with other men? That's what I'm always wondering.
Football, hunting, fishing.
Chicks and their hoo-has. Jessica got down on the first date.
I actually know the only thing men talk about this time of year, fantasy effing football. That's all they talk about.
I can't keep track of real football enough. I don't know anything about the fantasy.
The only fantasy I know is the Victoria's Secret fashion show. And I know that's right.
Madison Beer was so beautiful in it. So hot.
Oh my God, she was so perfect.
I will say, I think if I have a girl crush, it might be Madison Beer.
I second that.
I do often wonder though, what do men talk about with other men? But I guess you're right, it's just fantasy football.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, that really might be it.
Okay. Those are our answers. Slim pickings, girl. Sorry.
Now that we've dilly-dallied enough and dabbled enough in the silly side of the world, shit is about to get a little more serious. We're about to get a little
gears,
deeper.
Everybody.
A little deeper here on the pod now that we're awake. Now that I woke you all up and jarred you and scarred you for the rest of your life, we're going to get into some serious business.
I love serious business.
I think this is going to light a fire in our dear friend, Brooke Berry. I don't have any experience about this, but I know someone that does.
Oh, good God. Okay.
Hi, Morgan. I'm getting married next month and have a guest list of 14 people.
Okay.
Because of my extended family drama, we decided to keep it just our parents, grandparents, siblings, and two close friends. One of my friends, whom we call Susie, has been extremely passive aggressive and dismissive toward my wedding because she is not invited. A little backstory, Susie and I were friends in high school and I cut her out of my life in 2020 because she was never happy for me and made everything about herself, ironically. She reached out May of last year to reconnect. Okay, Olive Branch, we love that. Which I mistakenly agreed to. At this point, my fiance and I were planning a large wedding. She was so happy for me and talked about the wedding a lot. Once she found out, we decided to save our wedding budget to put toward a house. Her energy shifted. Since then, she has consistently changed the conversation if my wedding gets brought up. She has given me extremely dry responses about exciting events, such as getting my wedding dress, for example, nice or yay. I asked her for advice on swimsuits, which she ignored, and then asked me a few minutes later to go with her to buy a swimsuit for her other friend's bachelorette party. She has made every topic about my wedding relate back to her. I communicated to her and my friend group that I would love to have a bachelorette night, even though the friends aren't coming to the wedding. Again, they are aware of the circumstances surrounding my wedding and understand why we are keeping it small. This friend replied, I mean, I would definitely do something with you to help you celebrate, but it's just weird since I'm not going to the wedding.
Is this play about me? Is this play? Hey, oh my God.
Oh, there's more. I took offense to this text as I would never do this to a friend and would celebrate them no matter what I was invited to or not, mm-hmm. especially because she and everyone knows why we are keeping it small. Now, cut to this week. Another friend group of mine took me out for a super fun bachelorette night. I have known them for about a year and I genuinely love them. And she saw. Now, with 25 days until my wedding, she decided she wanted to throw me something, but she is only available the day before my wedding. It just feels so fake to me because she saw other friends take me out to celebrate, and I feel like she purposefully wants to reserve me as close to the wedding as possible so she feels involved. I genuinely don't know what to do anymore. She has been really affecting the excitement around my wedding and has contributed to the stress. I don't even know if it's worth talking to her about because she has always been like this. Please help. Sincerely, a very overwhelmed bride.
I'm triggered. Triggered.
Isn't this a prime example of the friends you've known the longest doesn't make them the best? And people you've met last year may just love you more and appreciate you more and be more excited for you because they are meeting you at this chapter of your life and they are going onward and upward with you, baby doll.
Listen, girl.
I'm letting Brooke collect her thoughts because I know they're cooking.
Listen. And gimme, gimme. I'm really going to hold your hand when I say this. She's not your friend. She's not your friend. My husband and I had a very, very teeny tiny wedding. And you learn really quick the people in your life whose hearts are in the right place. And who are able to move past their own feelings and support you authentically. This girl is more preoccupied with how you are impacting her than how she is impacting you. And let me tell you something, and please listen to me.
Red flag, red flag.
This time in your life only happens one time.
God willing.
Do not let one person add a single ounce of negativity to this day. Because I promise you, you will look back on it and you will remember the negative moments if they outweigh the positive. Get her as far away from this day as possible. And if you want to reconcile after your wedding, that is totally fine. But do not let her near your energy the night before your wedding. Do not. Because it will set the tone for this day that you need to protect. And I've said this before, protect your energy, protect your peace. Because I am so sorry, when we are adults, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. You don't live with this girl. She's not your roommate. X, Y, Z, and the other. She is showing you who she is, and you need to believe her.
And also, how pretentious of her to assume that you want to spend the night before your wedding out partying and dilly-dallying with her. Why on earth would you want to do that when you've given her so many opportunities and you've included her in all of the things that you're including your friends in? Eek. And who is she to have any opinions about how you want to celebrate your love with your husband? Because at the end of the day, all that matters is what's important to you and your husband.
Well, at the
end, your family.
I think too, like, I think there's two categories of people, and I don't think either is better or worse than the other. There are some people who are getting married for the party. To them, it's just a legal thing, and they're getting married for, they want the big old party because it's going to be this big reunion. And that is one category of wedding. I think in this side, there was another category of wedding where it is extremely intimate and it's very like sacred. And there's no way to make that teeny tiny intimate feeling in a room full of 400 people.
No,
you can't have both at the same time. Neither is better or worse. You're deciding to go the intimate route. You're deciding to save money, which is very smart because it's one day. And that is your decision.
And also, how lucky are you that you're going to look back on your wedding pictures and it's going to be your immediate family that will be in your life forever and not 15 bridesmaids that you're like, I pulled them together so I could.
I always knew I have three sisters. And so I always knew that We've always known that we're just going to be each other's bridesmaids for that reason.
Because they're in your life forever, no matter what. Versus you have your preschool best friend, which I'm sure you love and appreciate so much. But are you going to want to look at your wedding photos 50 years from now and see Sarah that you met at the gym?
And listen, maybe some people, nostalgia is everything. And that means something. And you've always dreamed of having, you know, everyone you've ever met in your wedding or at your wedding, and valid. That's not how you're doing it. It's not how I did it. And this was my whole thing with my very small wedding with my husband is if you don't stay firm with your vision and what you want it to be, it quickly spirals out of control.
You break boundaries with one person, you have to break them with everyone.
Because then it's not fair to anybody. And so I think too, she's trying to break you down so that she can get an in to your wedding the next day. I would say it's pretty obvious. Or at the very least, she wants to like outshine the night before your wedding by making it all about her. If I was you, I snip, 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 would not let her anywhere near you for today leading up until the very day of your wedding. And if you want to make amends afterwards, I'm all for an olive branch. I'm all for making up. But it doesn't need to be right now.
This friend is not happy for her for anything. She's not happy to see her dress. She's not happy to pick out swimsuits with you.
That baby
she's
not pissed having, me off.
She's not having a single part of it. And when you're entering this next chapter of your life, is that really the type of friend that you want to drag along with you anyway? She might be showing her true colors, and this might be the perfect time to be like, oh, my friend is showing me who she is. I'm going to believe her.
And I think a good question to ask yourself when you're in, if there's any brides to be watching, I got married earlier this year, so it's fresh on the noggin. But whenever I'd get overwhelmed or I'd be like just spinning with a million different opinions or, you know, advice or ways you could do it, you have to ask yourself, why are you getting married? Are you getting married for the party? Are you getting married for the person? And quickly, it will center you and it will put everything into perspective. You are not getting married to make your friends happy. You are getting married to unify yourself with another person. And that needs to be the North Star, in my opinion, because it can get so away from you if you're not careful.
Good luck, girl, because I feel like the type of friends that are like this, we were talking earlier today how there is just a specific group of people that they're your friend and you love them, but no matter what they say to you, it's always a backhanded jab in some way. And I feel like this girl is a backhanded jab girl, and no matter what you do and no matter how you try to involve her, she doesn't want to be involved. And what kind of friend is that? I will tell you, my dear friend, Brooke Berry, had a bachelorette kind of weekend, like a bridal shower. And there was not a single person there that was like, well, what about me? What about me? You're not inviting me to your wedding. Because everyone understands the context of, hey, our dear friend, it is her dream to have a close, intimate family with her wedding. And if this girl is not plugged in enough in the brain to be like, oh, you're having a wedding with just your family, it's not about me.
I will say that was one of the most unbelievable like experiences of my entire like wedding, getting married process, was having all of my friends who knew me well enough to know it was like always my dream to just be with my family and have a super, super, super tiny, tiny wedding. And none of them were going to be able, like none of them even one time made me feel like, I can't believe you made that decision because I don't get to be there. Everyone's
or
like,
you were in the wrong, or you're having your wedding wrong. You cannot tell someone if they are doing their wedding right or wrong. There's no right or wrong way to do it. But I feel like you can't tell somebody what their vision should be just so it accommodates you.
Yeah. You learn really quick who loves you and who supports you authentically and who is performative, I think, really quick in moments like a wedding, because true colors come out whether you like it or not. And I think you were seeing true colors, and they are red, girl. Red flag.
And they're flashing. Mm-hmm. They're not dull.
Warning. Good luck, though. I hope your wedding is perfect.
I'm sure that it will be, because all of your family is going to be so happy for you. You're going to be surrounded by people that love you and not your friend who's like, I don't like your wedding dress.
And just remember, there's always time for reconciliation. Do not be afraid to push that timeline to where it doesn't impede on your upcoming joy. Put it on the back burner. It doesn't need to be right away.
Friend, she's going
to
be your friend 8 months from now when the whole thing's over. Mm-hmm. So, okay. This one is a little long, but I think it's a good story. Do you want to read it, or do you want me to read it to you?
Whatever you want.
Okay. Long story short, me and my most recent ex broke up and didn't speak for about 2 months.
Okay.
During those 2 months of no contact, I felt like I was actually healing. Him and I went through a lot together. Even though we were on and off for about 2 years, I still love him, but I'm not in love with him anymore. Mm-hmm. He recently came back into my life and we hung out and did other things. But after about 3 days of us hanging out, He broke the news to me that he was moving back to his home state for a better job opportunity, only one state away. And he's already going to piss me off. He's already going to piss me off so bad, but we'll keep going.
Oh, dear God.
When we had this talk, we both cried and he asked me what I wanted to do.
Bro, why did you? Oh, my God. Why did you do this to this poor girl? What is wrong with you?
Again. Men being men.
Don't piss me off right now.
I offered no strings attached, but he said he didn't think he could do that. Then I suggested we just go back to not talking, but he said he didn't want me to be out of his life completely.
My brother in Christ, why are you asking her what she wants to do when you're not going to take
either option?
Oh my God.
He doesn't officially know when he will be moving, but knows that he will eventually... Oh, but knows that he will be eventually, but still wants to hang out until he does. His mom and younger brother live in my state as well. So he was already planning on traveling here often to spend time with them. He's backing you into a corner. He's backing you into the corner. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my dear God.
I'm sweating.
Since he's been back in my life, I feel all of the old feelings have come back up. Of course they have. He brings up wanting to go see movies, but he's also horrible at making plans and sticking with them. Not saying I'm a crazy itinerary person, but I appreciate an actual plan. That doesn't make you crazy. Hey, that makes you wanting the bare fucking minimum things.
If he can't make a plan, how are you going to do long distance? Uh-oh. Okay, continue.
Uh-oh. Gulp. And it means the most to me when people actually follow through. Even though we are just friends now, it's hard for me to not feel so wronged and like I'm owed something from him, because he constantly says he wants to do all these things, but when it comes time to do them, something always comes up. I understand friendships and relationships are different, but I don't want to be hurt by him anymore. He's caused me enough hurt already, and part of me just wants to cut him off completely so he doesn't feel like he'll always have access to me. But thinking about not talking to him also hurts. I'm so confused on what to do.
This makes me so mad.
I'm so confused on what to do or how to feel. And the only friend I have has never been in a relationship. So she's not great with relationship advice. So I don't talk to her about it. I don't have super close relationship with my parents either. And I choose not to disclose detailed relationship information with them due to childhood trauma they caused me. I love my parents and they've definitely changed a lot since my childhood, but my mom is still judgmental and I don't want to be judged for having emotions considering they made me this way. Advice is needed.
Baby. Oh, I'm so mad for you.
That this motherfucker saw that you were moving on and you were doing better and you were starting to heal and starting to feel better about yourself and your own life and all of the things above and decided, wow, I know that I'm moving to another state, but this would be a great time for me to insert myself in something that I don't need to insert myself into and fuck her life up all over again. Send you back to square one, day one.
He wanted a quick fix and didn't give a shit about the long-term implications that that would have on you. He sounds like the most, and I'm going to be sensitive. He sounds very selfish and very short-sighted. And I would like to
share a Dacey Ann Barry-ism that my mom bestowed on me that is unfortunately one of the most brutal pieces of advice, but it is the piece of advice that is the most protective and the best one in practice, although difficult. And I have told Morgan this, and it is way easier said than done.
Oh, I think I know what you're going to say.
Yes.
Say it with your chest and say it loud and proud, Miss Barry.
My mother has a rule that her mother bestowed on her when she ended her long, long, long-term relationship with her high school boyfriend. She said, you can break up with him, but you cannot speak for a year. And after that year, if you want to get back together with him, that is fine, but you have to give it a year because you have to know you are making that decision for a reason. And you have to know, you won't know if that's the right decision until you are completely over whatever is impacting you in this moment. Now, I have made a slight adjustment to this because I think with social media and phones and texting, we are a lot more readily available to each other and we become a lot more interdependent, like intertwined with each other than back in the 80s.
Yeah.
And so,
because we can still see what these people are doing.
Yes.
With the click of a button, which our parents did not have the luxury of being able to know what Jimmy John was doing down the street with Becky. Yes.
So my slight adjustment to this is, at the very least, it must be 3 months. At the very least, ideally, it is a six-month no contact. And it hurts. It sucks. It is so much easier in those weak moments to go back to them. But I swear I have lived this, y'all. If you give it 6 months, you will literally feel whole again, to the point where if they do come back into your life, you have a clear head to decide whether or not moving forward is the right decision. Sweet girl, 2 months and him knocking on your door right when that scab was forming over that wound.
Right when the scab was forming.
So unfair.
But it feels like also 2 months is the time that you really start to feel like the gravity of the situation of, oh, we're actually broken up. Like the denial has gone out the window and you're like, oh my God, I'm actually missing this person.
But you're also realizing I'm standing on my own two feet.
I'm standing on my own two feet. Okay. It's like a weird thing where like 1 hour you're like, oh my God, this person's really gone. And then the next hour you're like, oh my God, this is why this person needed to be gone. There's no way in 2 months that anything can be changed. And what is the point of no contact, ladies and gentlemen? No contact isn't a punishment. It's not a manipulation tactic. Mm-mm. It's not playing hard to get. It's not a game, right? The point of no contact, from what I have read about it, is that you gain the clarity without them clouding your judgment and without having both of you in a very emotional and very fragile and very raw state be able to go live your own separate lives, right? And the idea is both of you are healing and learning and deciding what it is you need to improve in your own life and what you want to do going forward and what you want your future to look like without the judgment being clouded by the emotions of the breakup. After that, okay, say 6 months, because I would say 6 months is also like the happy medium. I think 3 months is way too soon.
I do too.
I can know from personal experience, if you really want to change anything about yourself, it takes a lot longer than 3 months.
Well,
let me finish this thought. But the point of no contact is, it's not a punishment, right? It is to gain clarity on if you really want this person back in your life. One, two, if you get to the end of no contact, you should, in theory, be healed enough by the end of that 6 months to where if they never come back, you know that you are going to be okay. Mm-hmm. And you're not playing this push and pull game of we're going to get back together and we're going to break up. Let me tell you, from an outside perspective and as someone who has lived it, there is nothing worse for everyone in your life to watch than we got back together and now we're broken up and we're getting back together and we're broken up. You break up, you're broken up for at least 6 months.
For at least six months. And it's I think adopting that, even that mentality before you get into a relationship period really helps with making those big decisions. Because in my life, I always saw a breakup as final. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to do everything in my power to fix, adjust, tweak, heal, move through something. Because when I break up with you, it's done. Like, I have personally never gotten back together with someone because I've always followed the no contact rule. And every single time I have ended that no contact rule, I am a new person. And you're grown. And then all of a sudden the version of you that loved that person has grown up and doesn't exist anymore. And that's something to mourn. But at the same time, it's something to be so grateful for, because that's how life moves forward. And I really think that hitching your wagon to someone who is a horrible planner, cannot commit to even taking you to the movies, but wants you to commit to a long distance relationship,
when he doesn't even know when he's moving, for God's sake.
It's so unfair to the future version of you that was so close to starting to bud. You got to give her a chance before you do that, because something tells me he will be waiting for you in 6 months if you still really want him. But you got to know who you could be without him.
And you have to remember, if you break up with somebody, there is a reason that you guys wanted to break up.
Yes.
And you need to really, in those moments, because I think we've all lived it, we've all experienced it, where it's so painful and you feel like you are going to die and you feel like you lost a limb. It hurts so bad. It hurts so bad. You don't know what you have to reform your life. You have to reform your daily routine. You have to reform all these things.
And it's like learning to walk again.
Yes, that is the hard part. And I think you could find comfort in knowing that we've all lived through it. But to get through it, you have to live through it. Mm-hmm. And in those weak moments when you're like, I just want to text him, I just want to call him, I just want to hear his voice. Mm-mm. Don't do it.
Because getting through those moments is when the growth happens.
It's when the growth happens.
Yeah.
Okay. And say hypothetically, the end goal is that you guys do end up together. There's going to have to be a lot of growth that happens for each of you individually. And that is not going to happen currently with you in each other's ears all the time.
Well, and I think it's a controversial opinion, but if you are breaking up with someone who they themselves are not going to respect a no contact order, that block button is there for a reason. And you can always set, I remember I was dealing with someone who just couldn't respect that boundary of mine. And I put in my calendar the day to the day, 6 months to the day, that I was going to unblock their number. And then if they wanted to communicate with me, that was my boundary. And you will have full reign to do so. But it was getting to the point where they were trying to contact me through iCloud photo comments.
Oh, like, dear God. They're going in the Venmo comments. I've had someone go in the Venmo comments before, and you're like, oh, my dear Lord.
Like, come on.
Get a grip.
But
get a fucking grip.
Don't be afraid to utilize the block button within reason to protect your boundaries.
To protect your boundaries. And I don't think there's anything wrong, since you are in contact with this person, by sending a text saying, hey,
yep,
I've really thought about this. I'm not doing this to hurt you. I'm not doing this to punish you. For my own mental health and like my own well-being and my own self-growth, I want to be in no contact for at least the next 6 months.
Yep.
Giving him a heads up. You know, you don't just have to ghost him. You don't just have to disappear off the face of the earth. You can say, hey, this is what I need. This is my boundary. He respects it or he doesn't. And that says a lot about him.
Well, and you don't want to inflict hurt on that person or trauma on that person by like one day being there, one day not being there. I think the responsible, and I think the mature thing to do would be to say, hey, this is what I need. It is no, like, I'm not trying to punish you.
Yeah. I care about you and I want to do this. I think we both need this. Mm-hmm. You can make it a we thing. Mm-hmm. We need this.
But good luck, girl.
It is really sad. And it is very devastating to lose someone that you love so much. But you just have to know, we've all lived through it and we've all survived.
And also something that brought me a lot of peace when I was going through it, and I know Morgan feels the same. If it's meant for you, it cannot pass you. If it is meant for you,
I know that's right.
It will come right back to you. And that really is the truth. Nothing that is for you will pass you. So just remember that.
Yeah. If it is your grand divine plan, one day it will work out exactly how it needs to. And you will be happy with the outcome either way. Mm-hmm. And that's all I got to say about that.
Good luck. I'm not jealous of you. I feel bad.
No, it's gut-wrenching and horrible, and it's a hard thing to go through. But there can also be so much growth that comes through that amount of pain where you have to rebuild yourself. And honestly, I feel like that's when a lot of us women really get our shit together mm-hmm. and figure out who we are and who we want to be.
I was going to say, I've loved post-breakup version of me the most mm-hmm. out of many versions of me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I know that's right. I'm going to let you read this one, Brooke.
Oh my gosh.
This is the last one that I have screenshotted, and I want you to do the honors.
The last one.
Because I tried to pick things from each category that I tried to pick different categories.
This feels pointed.
It's not pointed. Nothing is pointed.
Okay. Okay. Hi, Morgan.
The reason that it feels pointed is because it's relatable to all.
Yeah. Hi, Morgan. The drama.
And Brooke, you weren't here yet.
Hi guys. The drama. I'm having a falling out with my best friend. Essentially, she started dating her new partner, who is a major red flag.
Boo.
Long story short, the partner has significant cocaine and alcohol concerns, multiple DUIs, control issues, and things with the relationship overall moved fast. They moved in together after they moved in together before the 6-month mark. And I started to notice
changes.
Couldn't
be me. Who does that?
Ew, who does that? Ew, oh my God.
What kind of psycho crazy person are you associated gosh. With, my dear God?
That doesn't sound healthy. I started to notice changes in my best friend quickly. Not showing up to events, not doing her hair and makeup, calling into work / getting written up at work. I was concerned. I let her know I was worried and just wanted to make sure she was okay. But she didn't take it well and told me that she is happy and didn't like that I wasn't approving of her girlfriend and her new lifestyle, aka living at the bars. P.S. We are 30. Anyways, she stopped replying to me. Essentially, I am ghosted by my best friend of 8 years. I miss my best friend, but not the version of her that exists anymore. Do I reach out again and try to repair this or just move on and let this go? Appreciate any advice.
Redeem your lab bucks on free bet spins or even cash in for real money. That's Ladisfaction from Ladbrokes. And for extra Ladisfaction, here's the T's and C's. Let's rock.
18 plus. Participate in selected promotions to get lab bucks.
Step into 2026 with a home you can call your own. With shared ownership at Latimer Homes, you can reserve your new place for just £26 before the 26th of January. Shared ownership offers a more affordable route onto the property ladder, making your dream of owning your own home a reality. Begin your next chapter today at latimerhomes.com. T's and C's apply.
I don't think there's anything more tragic. Than watching someone that you deeply love, one of your best friends, actively go head first into something that you're like, stop, red alert, amber alert, call the police. This is not looking good over here. The house is on fire. Why are you walking into the house? What I've learned, I'll let Brooke collect her thoughts for a second. What I've learned, the sad reality is, you guys, people are going to do whatever it is that they are going to do, and you can't stop them. You can have a 4-hour-long conversation with them every night. Mm. You can console them through their tears. You can be them be there for them every time they say, I don't want this anymore. I'm going to get out of this. I promise I need to get out of this. Help me out of this. And then the next day you wake up and they're posting their man's on their story and you're like, what happened? What happened?
We had a plan.
We had a plan. And I used to be very resentful when these things would happen. And I'm like, what happened to the 4-hour conversation that we had last night about how you were going to leave this man? The sad reality is we don't get as friends all of the context, right? We'll never get all of the context. And we sometimes get the worst parts of the story. And what happens when you tell your friends the worst parts of your relationship? They're going to hold on to the worst parts of your relationship and be like, this man fucking sucks. Why are you back with him? And then you go back to your drug addict bar hopping man and you're like, la-di-da-di-da. I remember all the good things that I love about him. I remember how wonderful and special he makes me feel. No one loves your man like you love your man. So when you're telling everyone these objective things about your man and they're like, hey, the house is on fire. And then you go back to him because you're in love with him. You have to remember not everyone else is in love with your mans. So then it's really hard for your friends to watch you go back to an effing loser who is taking you down on his ship that's titanicking at a rapid rate. It's a hard watch and you can do nothing about it, essentially. I just combined like 10 thoughts into one and I don't know if that made any sense.
It made sense. There is a unique and horrific pain watching your friend kill off the version of themselves that you have loved and cherished for so long to conform to a partner that doesn't have their best interest at heart.
Love is blind. It's a terminal illness, as I've said.
A kind of pain as a friend that is very hard to articulate because some people will be like, it's none of your business. Mind your business. But when you love a friend, and Morgan and I love friends very deeply, and so I know she feels similarly, but it's like they're like family and you would run into battle for family and you'd throw yourself in front of a train for family. And when you are constantly trying to save someone from the impending doom that you can see from the bird's eye view, and they're just pushing you away and turning into this version of themselves that you don't recognize. The hardest thing to realize is there is nothing in your power that you can do to bring that person back. There is nothing.
Yeah, because they're going to do what they want to do and you can't stop them.
Well, and the wounds that have been inflicted by the situation that they are in are transforming the person that you once knew. So even if that relationship ends, the chances of you getting that version of your friend back unscathed is just not possible. And I think it's a painful reality of growing up. I think it's a painful reality of, especially like later in life, I've noticed like in our late 20s and getting into your early 30s where people are making big, big life decisions, these crossroads become less trivial, right? It's less about what college you're going to and what you're majoring in and more like who are you going to have children with? And who are you going to pick as your life partner that's going to implicate every decision moving forward? And the reality is you hit a certain point where all you can do is watch because your influence over your friends becomes less and less and less the older we get because we just grow into adults.
Yeah, we are our own people standing on our own two feet. And unfortunately, you can't save her.
Well,
you can be there for her. Mm-hmm. And you can listen to her and I think that's what is hard is when people are coming to you for advice.
And inserting you
Inserting you in the situation and then you give your opinion and then you give your advice and then they make you the bad guy when it's not what they want to hear.
Well,
it's all a hard, tricky situation.
It's hard when you start pointing out the reality and that threatens the delusional reality that they are choosing to like live in to protect the love that they have for their partner. And that's all fine and dandy. But if you pointing out the objective truth of what's going on is going,
He's a drug addict. Hey, you're going to spend the next 10 years of your life trying to find him in a bar.
Hey, they don't have a healthy relationship with substances. You have since been living in bars since you met them. It looks like that might not be healthy. I'm concerned for you. If that sentence of a loving concern is going to send this person over the edge, that's where I see a turning point in a friendship where it's like, okay, so there's literally like the rule I've come to, and it has been actually the most painful thing that I've ever had to like come to terms with. But all you can do is promise yourself that if they ever free themselves from the situation they're in, that you will be waiting for them with open arms, shoulder to cry on, band-aids for the wounds.
And a whole lot of grace.
And a whole lot of grace if they ever find the strength to remove themselves from that situation. Because at the end of the day, there's nothing you can do to force someone to see what you see. All you can do is love them on the other side of it if they get there.
Love is a terminal blind illness. And when someone is in love with someone, they cannot objectively see what everyone around you sees.
And we've all been there, right?
It's a hard pond to swim in.
Yes, we've all been the person who's in a relationship that everyone else is looking in like, what are you doing? And then you get defensive and you're like, no, you don't see what I see. And I shouldn't have told you those bad things because now that's why you think badly of them. It's like, girlfriend, like, no, like we see the truth. We see objectively through the, you're wearing the rose colored glasses. We're not.
We have our reading glasses on, yes. And we can see you in 4K, baby doll.
Yeah. But
yeah. And what's so hard is say said friend comes to you and you give said friend the honest truth. What is going to happen is they're going to become defensive and say, they're going to defend their mans. Well, we've seen it time and time and again.
I think the sad part,
it's going to push them away from you.
That's the thing, is if you continue to try and save them
and intervene,
all that's going to do is cause them to hate you.
Yeah. It's going to push them away to a point where they're not going to return.
Because when someone's not ready to hear the truth, all it sounds like is judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Unsolicited advice is just judgment in a different package. And even if it comes from the best intention in the world, it doesn't change their heart. And I'm a firm believer in divine intervention. And I don't know if you pray, but I've always just prayed for my friends who are in those situations and that something bigger than all of us can intervene. Cause I know that's the only thing that saved me when I was in my long-term relationship that I just didn't see a way out of. Like, that's the only thing that helped me. And so, you know, all I can say is just be there with open arms at the end of it, because your friend right now is long gone.
Yeah, she's not the friend that you once had.
Mm-hmm. That's hard.
It is so hard. It's such a hard watch too, because all you want to do is say, what the fuck are you doing? Look at what you're doing to your life. But they are not in the place to hear it.
All you
want to
do is just like take them and run away and get in the car. Like,
get in the taxi. We're going on a vacation and we're never coming back to this zip code.
We got to go. Like,
we're getting a passport and that man's address is not on the passport. Mm-hmm. We cannot go there. Border control will not let us through.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think all you can do is hope that one day she has her own awakening or something intervenes. I will tell you what I had to do when I was a friend to someone who was in a situation where they were dating someone that was really
dangerous, deep
into the substances and really dangerous and really just not a person that I wanted to be personally associated with, even though I loved my friend. I watched her go on the most heinous roller coaster you would ever seen. They're breaking up. They're making back.
It was literally like a true crime film.
It was like a true. They're breaking up. They're getting back together. They're breaking up. They're moving in. They're moving out. She's moving into his parents' house. She's moving out of his parents' house. They're in love. They're getting married. Oh my God. They're moving to a new state. And now they're broken up again. And you sometimes, for the sake of yourself, have to remove yourself. No matter how much you love your friend, you have to remove yourself from the situation and look at what it's doing to your mental state and look at what it's doing to your life. And like Brooke said, whenever they decide that they are ready to remove themselves from that dangerous situation, because when you throw in drugs and you throw in people that are actually doing dangerous things, that can start a fire that you simply don't want to be a part of.
I think too, like,
and they're going to have to save themselves, and you need to be there for them with open arms when they decide to do such. I agree with you.
And from my personal experience, sometimes backing away from a friend early, as opposed to staying too long and watching them self-destruct, is the kindest thing you can do for the memory of them that lives with you.
Mm-hmm.
Because watching your friend do things that you just don't recognize, and you're watching this person like become something else, and then you're slowly forgetting the version of them that you loved and that you felt so close to. And then all of a sudden you're mourning two people. You're mourning the person that she is and that mm-hmm. she was. I think that sometimes recognizing early on, there is nothing I can do to fix the situation. It is bigger than me. I'm going to back away now before I completely forget the version of you that I once really loved is one of the kindest things you can do. Because then when they do come back eventually, God willing, when they do, you have something preserved waiting for them, as opposed to months and months and months of hurt that have built up into your own resentment that now you've got twice the mountain to climb, you know? Mm-hmm. So sometimes walking away when those early warning signs come up is the kindest thing you can do for all parties involved.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, I wish you nothing but the best. That is near and dear to Morgan and I's hearts, definitely. And
Godspeed, soldier. I remember what I was going to say is something that I've had to learn in my adult life is that what I think is the best thing and what I think is could be the best thing for someone else. Because I sometimes get a little too involved with people, as we've noticed. I get a little too involved and I'm like, oh my God, imagine the potential that this person has. I get invested and I so deeply, my greatest wish for anyone in my life is that they could be the best version of themselves, the happiest, most successful, most loved version of themselves. And I think sometimes we have to remind ourselves is the things that we want for other people and the things that we see for other people might not be what other people want for themselves. And it is almost rude to put our judgment on people and say, I know what's best for you. I know what you should do. This is bad for you. This is good for you. All it's going to do is push these people away. And I think sometimes it's hard to realize that what we think is best for someone, I'm not saying in a drug situation or like a bad relationship situation, but just in general, I think if you are friends with someone, and what I've tried to tell myself is if I claim someone as my friend, I have to trust that they are using the best judgment that they have to move forward in their own life. And for me to push my agenda on somebody else without them asking is only going to push them away from me. So sometimes it's best. We just have to trust sometimes that our friends are doing what they think is best for them in that moment.
Or at all of that. And I don't think it's judgment on your part. I think it's expectation. Yes. Because judgment is like, you're doing it wrong. I think expectation is you could do this better. And I think as friends, it's like, come on, like of course you're going to date the best guy in the world. Like, you're the best girl I've ever known. Mm-hmm. Of course you're going to date the best guy ever. And it's less about like, I can't believe you're dating him. Like, ugh. It's more like, oh my gosh, yeah, I can't believe girlfriend. This is who you're picking when you could have all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Additionally, one other thing I want to say is it is important to know when to keep your opinions to yourself, especially when they're not being asked for.
Yes.
But I also think it is a unique gift for certain friendships
to be able to check you,
to sacrifice the friendship if there stands a chance of them
using that tough love to save themselves. And I recently had to really sit with myself and be like, okay, I love this friend so much. And I know no one is going to have the nerve to say what needs to be said about her current situation. If I don't do it, nobody will.
Right.
And I am willing to sacrifice our friendship because I love this person so much to say what needs to be said. And if she never speaks to me again, and it's not from a place of anything less than absolute love, I love you enough to say what needs to be said for your safety to never speak to you again, if that's what you choose.
Yeah.
And that sometimes is the decision you have to sit with before you start giving unsolicited advice, is this worth losing a friendship over? And sometimes the answer is yes.
Yes.
For your own conscience. And I know you've lived that.
Yeah.
Where it's like,
and it's all within context too. Like, given the gravity of a situation, like if your friend is putting themselves in danger, it's worth putting it on the line.
If their health is at risk, if their safety is at risk.
It's all a fine line.
If they're jeopardizing their entire future, I really think that's just as detrimental. If you're seeing your friend, you're like, bro, like you, I've watched you put a decade worth of work into who you are today, and you are throwing it away for a person you met 3 months ago.
Yeah.
It's like, brother, grab the reins. But it's definitely very, you know, like you said, context is everything. And
love is a terminal illness,
even for friends.
I don't know what happens to us ladies when we are in love, that we all objectiveness goes out the window.
That's why I really think having friends or sisters that you know, above all else, that's your compass. And if
they're going to tell you the truth, whether you like it or not.
And having that one or two people in your life that you identify as someone you know above all else only wants good for you. And like that person I'm talking like needs to be vetted. Mm-hmm. But you know, through thick and thin, they are going to tell you what needs to be said for the betterment of your life above all else. And having that one person be that compass is so important so that you don't find yourself 5 years later being like, oh my God, why didn't no one tell me?
Why didn't none of you say something?
Because
we've all seen it before too, where Sarah breaks up with Ben and then everyone's like, we always hated Ben. And Sarah's like, why didn't anyone say anything? Mm-hmm. So it's all very tricky.
I lived that. That one was so painful where I woke up and everyone's like, thank God. And I'm like, thank God. Like, what do you mean, thank God? And they're like, oh my God, he was awful. I'm like, brother, are you, hello? Like, what? Well, Brooke, we couldn't tell you anything. And I'm like, you didn't try. You literally didn't try. No one, hello.
But 911, we have an emergency. The love blinders are on, Jesus, and they are thick and they are opaque.
Yeah, I didn't have rose-colored glasses on. I had actual blackout glasses on. I couldn't see anything. I was numb. I literally couldn't see anything. My eyes were closed. Oh, I was just blind.
You want to know the most discombobulating experience I've ever been through? There's a restaurant in Vegas where it's pitch black. And the concept of the restaurant is you don't get to know what you're eating or what you're being served. And you walk in there, you can't see the person next to you. You can't see what you're eating. It is pitch black, but the waiters have glasses that they can see, like night vision. So you're sitting having conversation. And I guess the idea of it is supposed to be so you can like have deeper conversation without, I don't fucking know, you guys, but it was so jarring. And I was like, I never want to be this blind to anything ever again.
I also, it was around Halloween in Chicago. And there was one of those, like, I love going to interactive theater around Halloween time because I think it's so fun. And I love anything immersive. And there was like this interactive horror theater dinner thing where like you become,
that sounds so fun.
It literally was magical, and you become part of the show. And like halfway through, like the third course, like this evil entity comes and like takes away everyone's sight, and you have to like eat the antidote, and it's all in the dark. But I remember it was this goopy eyeball feeling, like,
ew,
like cantaloupe ball in my mouth. And I was like, all right, fun's over. Give me a flashlight.
funds over. What ball did you just put in my mouth?
How dare you? I want no mysterious ball that I can't see anywhere near my mouth.
How dare you?
No mysterious goops anywhere around me.
No, the only mysterious goop is on Morgan's face every night before bed when she puts her 50 serums on and she goes, good night. And she looks like the peanut butter baby.
You guys, I am on a skincare journey. I will let you know my findings.
And you've never looked better.
I am very into sunscreen, 70 yeah. SPF every morning. I read, you want to know my findings?
According to my research,
if you are not putting sunscreen on before you even look out a damn window, you are getting sun damage. Cars are the most common place that people are getting sun damage and don't even know it. There's a picture of a lady that was a truck driver and it shows you the side of her face that was in the window side and how much more damaged and aged and just like.
Well, I have that on my hands. Freckles. I have like freckles on my hand that's by the, like that I drive by the window and then the others.
So just because you're young and beautiful and fresh and full of elasticity now, put your sunscreen on, girls. I've been very into 70 SPF sunscreen before I even look out a window. And at night, retinols and eye cream.
Morgan is changing me. Every single time I come to Denver, there's something new I'm putting on my face and I look better and better.
Well, I am in an experimental phase right now. Yes. When I crack the code, I will let you know. But I did get a great compliment the other day when I went for like a consultation to get a laser facial because I used to have such bad acne that I took Accutane in high school. I think we've all been down this road, right? So I wanted to do like the laser just to get like my last little bit of scarring off. And she was like, oh my God, you have such gorgeous skin. What do you do? And I was like,
I'm going to cry. Second of all,
something right. So retinol, apparently it works. I got a retinol stick that's kind of like a deodorant that I really want to get on my neck. Yeah. One of the things that I'm maybe most insecure about at this moment in my life is I've realized that I have tech neck.
Dude, I feel like mine's worse than yours.
You know, it is the flawed thing that I look at myself on a computer all day and see myself from every angle and every version of lighting. That might be a little bit of a, you start overpicking everything.
Yeah.
But all of us Gen Z millennial ladies are developing tech neck because what do? We sit like this and scroll on our phones and then we get lines on our neck. And I'm not trying to say there's anything against aging. However, I would like to do everything I can to keep my skin fresh and glowing.
Listen, you want to be the best version of yourself. And I love
that. I want to be the best version of myself. And if putting 50 goops on my skin before I go to bed makes me feel some type of way, then let me have it.
You know what?
I've been through enough this year.
You want to know the last thing I want to put the girls and the gays onto?
Are you going to tell them about the Siggy?
No, I'm gatekeeping that. Okay. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
Wait till the Christmas wish list.
That will be the top of it. I'm not gatekeeping. God. We're let it cook. But as you know, we have told the pod about one of our favorite bits, which is the invisible ink bit in the iMessage. Mm-hmm. Morgan and I have developed another bit that I would like to introduce to the Hear Me Out pod. Mm-hmm. And that would be according to my calculations, if my research is correct, and it was developed.
According to my research, you need 70 SPF before you even look out a fucking window, or you are going to look 70 by the time you're 29.
It started during Halloween when I would learn all of these niche things and get very excited and go and on then rants.
She's correcting the other YouTubers that are giving wrong information.
According to my research, there was no witches burned in Salem. There.
And this happened in 1793, not 92.
According to my research, Pennhurst was. And so it started because I was learning all this knowledge and then it would just come out. Like, and we would be filming and I would be like, yeah. And then this. And I got home after filming Potoween and I just like started I've crammed so much facts into my brain recently that they just start oozing out my ears.
An encyclopedia.
And so Jacob, my husband, I was on some rant about Amazonian fish that I really love that I saw in a Singapore aquarium. Don't even ask questions. I was at the Singapore aquarium and accidentally found myself on a VIP tour of the Abyss exhibit. And I got really, really pumped about it. And I was telling him all about the fish that I saw in this exhibit. And he goes, He goes, you know who you know who you sound like? Velma Dinkley, when she goes, according to my research. And so I found that so funny and so accurate that now whenever he's giving me sports facts, I go, according to my calculations.
According to my fantasy football stats.
According to my research. And Morgan, when she was when Morgan was giving me skincare facts, she said, if my research is correct. And so I would like to present to you the second bit of the year, which is according to my research, and it is so funny. And there is an emoji that does go with it, and it is the pointed up finger with the nerd emoji.
According to my research.
According to my calculations.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
There's another one that we've been doing, but what is it? I forgot.
Oh, hell. We were doing it in the car today, which was so funny.
I can't remember what our newest bit is.
Oh, I know. Sorry.
That we stole from her sister.
Sloan. My sister Sloan is so funny. And she does the most like outlandish thing. And he'll be like, I don't know. Sloan will borrow a sweater, for example. Ruin the sweater. Return it like nothing happened. And I'd be like, Sloan, hello? What is wrong with you? Are you not embarrassed? Do you have no shame? Like, you ruined my sweater. And she'll go, Sowie. And when we were in Pennhurst, I said, was it Pennhurst? I forget where I was, but on one of the Potoween videos, I said, Sowie. And when Morgan was editing, she found it so funny that I got here and she's been saying Sowie. And I was like, how do you know about Sowie?
And I'll be like, you need to use SPF 70. Sowie.
Sowie. Hey, you should return that sweatshirt. It's not cute. Sowie.
I would never say anything you own is not cute.
Well, well, I have my sisters for that. Anyways, you guys, well, those are our bits and that's our advice. I really think we should come up with some sort of like, what's it called? Like a Tiger Beat.
Let us know what you think, what our advice column name should be, and then write in stories about your chaotic life so we can take a break from the drama of our lives to talk about the drama of your life.
Please, I beg, or else I'm going to start giving history facts again and no one wants that. You give me your drama or I'm going to pick up ancient drama and nobody wants that because I have a lot to say on ancient Egypt and no one wants that.
According to her research.
According to my research, ancient Egypt was very dramatic. Anyways, you guys.
And so are we. Thank you all and good night.
Third Love makes bras that actually fit, so they know this. If your bra feels uncomfortable, the problem isn't your body, it's your bra. Third Love designs for comfort first. Soft fabrics, support that doesn't dig, pinch, or slip. Bras that feel good and look good under everything you wear. Shop Third Love and explore over 60 sizes, including AA through H, and half cup sizes you won't find anywhere else. Get $15 off your first purchase at thirdlove.com with code PODCAST15.
Despiértate, que el $4 breakfast meal deal ha llegado a McDonald's. Incluye un sausage McMuffin o sausage biscuit, hash brown y un café caliente. Llévate más por tu dinero con tu meal deal. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
Now, we're about to say goodnight to y'all, but if you want to see us on the after pod, I'm about to do something crazy. Morgan and I have decided that there is an eligible bachelor in this state. Upon further review,
that could be quite problematic
or very fun. And Morgan has accidentally been ghosting this person for months.
I don't mean to.
She's upstairs. I'm down here.
This is why I'm going to be alone forever because men will literally knock on my door and be like, I want a date. And I'm like,
Morgan literally sends a screenshot of the five things that she's been ignoring. And she goes, I literally fumble every bag. Literally fumble every bag. And so I told her, she goes, what do I say? I said, save that for the after pod. So we'll be figuring that out together on the Tron.
Figure it out on the Tron. See, where all good things are figured out. Praying for y'all because I'm not jealous of your dramas.
Oh yeah. Good luck with that.
Godspeed, soldiers. Good luck to ya. Hey, let us know how that one goes.
Ho, ho, ho.
Bye.